plug whatever you want. Okay? Are
Love
you there?
Talk Radio.
Yes.
Here we go.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans from around the world. Visit her website at starfuentes.com. Then join her here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
We will be taking callers after the half-hour mark. The number is 657-383-1612. I'm very honored and pleased to have Jason McKean with me tonight. Welcome, Jason.
Hello, Star. Good evening.
Well, Jason, you're such a wizardly type. tell us how you got to be such a wizard, and what was your journey like to the path, on the path that you are today?
You know, it's been a long journey. It's not something that that comes too easily. But I must tell you that you know, for one, thank you for having me on your show. It is an honor to be on a fellow practitioner, seeker of truth, of enlightenment. You know, to be on this journey together and to acknowledge each other. So thank you. You know, I have like a wizardly look about me, certainly. I'm in my 50s, but what's really funny is that I was always a beard person, even when I was a small kid. I would take theatrical beards and glue them on my face, you know, when I was 10. So that part of it, I was always, that was going to be my destiny as far as like looking the part. You know, as far as, you know, being a spiritual practitioner and all that's always the journey. You know, something that is kind of one's lifelong quest. And, you know, I started as an artist, doing mostly painting and other types of, you know, like that evolved into filmmaking. Music was part of that as well. And that sensitivity is something that one draws upon later in life, you know, to do the work of facilitating other people's lives there, you know, through tarot, through the other psychic sciences. You know, it's that sensitivity that you know one taps into to help further along you know, someone else's journey there.
That's important. And what is your website, Jason?
My website is Jason D. McKean, and it's spelled out J-A-S-O-N D M-C-K-E-A-N .com. And on my website, I have two sections of it. I've tried to simplify my life. You know, as I was saying earlier, I used to paint, I used to do art, I used to make films, would do albums that ranged from soundtrack to rock to ambient to classical. And I might add that you know, most of this background is self-taught as well. You know, as far as my wizardry, it starts with that interest where one just dives in. And, you know, a lot of it is baptism by fire, where, you know, you have the desire to be, you know, that person. You have that desire to be an artist, and then you just dive into it and you see where it takes you. And so it keeps life very exciting, but unpredictable as well. And, you know, maybe there's some some false starts here and there, but one gets, you know, on the path as they, you know, feel that it's right for them. But my website, I have two sections in it. One is for my tarot reading. I read in Los Angeles. I live in Malibu, California, and I read in North Hollywood. I read in Santa Monica, in a couple of different places around Los Angeles. And so my reading schedule is there on that site. I also teach private students, and I also have my own weekly radio show on Blog Talk that is called Wizard Talk, and I talk about the tarot, and I have guests on, and I read for them. It's a chance for them to talk about themselves, and then I read for them. So it's a win-win situation. And then the other section is my Om chant CDs.
Now that's interesting. Tell me about you and Om.
You know, it's really interesting because I came about it by accident. You know, there's probably a lot of practitioners, a lot of healers, a lot of you know, people in the spiritual realm that come by something where it seems like it's out of the blue, you know, but it can become very formative. It can be you know, very important down the road. But how one gets there, it can be by complete accident. And so 25 years ago, I voiced an Om for an album at a publishing company that I was working at. And my voice was kind of looped throughout, and it ended up selling like a million copies, like around the world, and it was just played in all these meditation halls and yoga studios and places, and it was it's been, you know, from that start, it's been pretty interesting to see how it has gone from there. From that album, which was a basic Om chant, almost like a drone, I created albums that had a little bit more music to them by either using a relaxing harp or synthesizer, or, you know, just something that was made a point of difference in the background, in the ambiance. You know, because it's about creating an environment where someone can. I never know whether to say, you know, where someone can lose themselves or where they can find themselves. You know, because I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think those ambient music albums, I think that people can kind of lose that chattering, the mind chatter part of themselves, and you know, let go of themselves a little bit to be able to find themselves and you know, find new answers, or be able to, you know, just have a real peaceful experience.
I think that's very important. You know, we have to lose what's ever going on to connect and to find our connection. And once we get connected, we have to get lost in our connection to find out what our question answer is. So it's
right.
kind of like a Mobius. It goes back and forth between losing yourself and finding yourself and losing yourself. And I get where you're hesitant to say either one of them, yet both of them coexist harmoniously. So it's important. The Om is a very important energy. It's one of the two things. Yum and Om, let your organs harmonize. That doesn't mean that they're at perfect pitch, but they go into harmony with each other. I remember being at a Joseph Campbell class in Esalen and Big Sur, and at lunch. There were about a couple hundred of us holding hands in a circle before lunch, and we were going to ohm, and the kids said, "Why are you guys ohming? Let's yum the lunch."
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, all 200 adults were like, "Yeah." So we yummed it, and the kids had so much fun with it. So even any of those vibrations that harmonize your organs, because your heart can be going one way and how you live your life can be going another way, your liver.
Mm-hmm.
So ohm is very, very important, just like breathing. It's sometimes the simplest things perk our highest vibrations.
Yes, yes. And I find that I guess I was naturally attuned to it because I had not been a practitioner. I had not I didn't know what I was doing, to be honest with you, at the start. And it just intuitively I just was able to tap into a necessary ingredient of, you know, what it is, what the tone needs to do for the listener. And and for the later albums, you know, I've you know, studied it more, and I've been able to refine them, you know, through the studio, so that you know, the pitch and the just the energy is to my liking throughout, and then of course I'll send it to practitioners and say, you know, hey, does this work? You know, because there's always
important part, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like you can work on something forever and then, you know, be really disappointed, you know, if it doesn't actually do its job. And it is meant to you know, people use it as a tool, you know, to go into a meditative state or another place. You know, it's funny because one never knows how it's going to land. I've had people write me, and you know, some people they just use it every morning to energize. They'll use it in their yoga. I had one woman who went into a deep meditation and she contacted her deceased son. You know, she had a conversation with her son who had passed away. And, you know, it's like, how do you build that into an album? It's like you don't. It's like you just do your part in creating the environment, and then, you know, however someone is going to use it, that's up to them.
I'm going to order some, and I have a geodesic dome church, and I'm going to play it. We have a very metaphysical, spiritual community versus religious, and I'm going to play it, you know, sometime for the background and stuff. My people really like this kind of thing. I really like this, and I don't know how many CDs I have, you know, of metaphysical, spiritual music, because I've been collecting them since, oh, I'm not even going to say when. You know,
now, is it,
I'm 76 years old, so, you know, I think
it may be on records, right? Your collection starts on records and then goes through cassettes.
Well,
and then...
I don't think so. I think my collection started on a reel-to-reel.
Oh, my God.
And I recorded it somewhere in the 60s, someplace.
Right.
You know, but I've been privileged to record an album with Stephen Halpern, and I have been able to tone and meditate all over the world. I've lived all over the world. So I'm very pleased with that. I want to talk about the wizard. Many, many of us come into this world right now, and we're carrying in our DNA, we're carrying a gene left over from Astaria. And Astaria was, whatever you want to call it, is fine with me. Before Atlantis, there was an Earth. The Hopis say there were so many Earths. And Astaria was the time when witches and wizards were around. And actually, the dimensions were packed so tightly on Earth that you could point your finger at somebody and emanate energy, that
right.
you could transfigure, that you could do all these wonderful things. And there were about 12 of those genes that people carry. And we know our druids. Our druids are 6'4". They're tall and lanky guys. Our wizards are about 5'8 to 5'11", which I think you're in that category, correct?
I am 6'3".
6'3". Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. But still, for me, like my husband, you carry the wizard gene. And you can look at a person and you go, he's a wizard. You look at one of my apprentices. She's been my apprentice for, well, really, she's a master in her own right. She's 23, 25 years now. And she's an angel. And she has that radiant glow. And you look at me and you know I'm an extraterrestrial. You know what I mean? There's just, you know, I just, like, you can tell I'm an extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
And the wizards have this remarkable way of taking the divine and grounding it with Earth and being able to figure out a way for the two to work together.
Right.
All right. And so, you know, when I go get a reading, of course, because I'm smart enough not to do readings for myself or my husband. I have somebody do a reading for me, and I have coaches. I have healers, and I have massage therapists and acupuncturists, because I know that you don't do well when you do these things for yourself. So
one can cheat, you know, when they read for themselves a little bit. I mean, there's certainly that temptation to fudge things, you know, it's important to get the truth from someone else.
And I've seen so many, even my mature friends, they're very good tarot readers, and they ask a question, and then they throw out the card 6 times so they get almost the answer that they want, you know. I'm not even going to touch my cards for myself.
Right.
So I find when I get a reading from a wizard, like you are, that it's a spiritual, which is grounded really, really deeply, and how do you get there practical? How do you do this without a lot of bumps on the roads? And how do you be this? So I really like wizards. When angels give me a reading to talk to me about my spiritual self, my extraterrestrial people, they talk to me about my global consciousness or my soul consciousness. You know, my fairies, it's a whole different story. My druids are really, really interesting, because those very tall women and very, very tall guys come at it also from a very earthly perspective. So being a wizard, you must give pretty logical, earthly grounded steps for your clients to participate in, correct?
You know, that is... I mean, it was a process, you know, to be honest with you, Star. You know, as far as that's kind of the arc in my own journey as far as becoming a tarot reader, you know. Because when I was doing the Ohm CDs, For me, that was a very, I don't want to say impersonal interaction with others, but it's something that one does kind of alone, you know, in a studio and all that, and then it's, you create it, it's a product, you know, but it's something that goes out into the world, and then your part is kind of done, you know, as far as it then... you know, goes around the world and, you know, touches lives, but you are not present. And I think I was craving, like, personal interaction with others. And, you know, when you first pick up the tarot, in my case, you know, I had picked up the tarot maybe when I was in my 20s, around 30 years ago. And, you know, just explored it in stops and starts, you know, with 78 cards. And by the way, I use the Wizard's Tarot.
I noticed that, and I saw the picture, and I was going, I have a tub, and it's got 100 tarot decks in it.
Right.
And I picked them up one at a time, and I played with them one at a time, and I'm not remembering whether I have the Wizard. So now I'm going to have to pull the tub out of storage, and I'll look in there and see if I can find the Wizard's tarot deck. And in... How well do you feel you're connected with this deck? I feel like it's an automatic connection for you.
It really was. It really was. The minor arcana. There's some imagery. Most of the imagery is similar to the Rider-Waite, the universal, you know, tarot.
Right.
There, but the majors, they are completely reimagined, and they have the added benefit of the Hebrew alphabet on them, and some other symbols there that add other layers to it. But you know, I think when I found that deck, and it was gifted to me. By a psychic who is you know, very influential for me, but it really resonated very, very strongly, and I just dove into it and then wanted to you know, change up my life too, where that was like the principal occupation that I did in Los Angeles there, and so you know, the Wizard's Tarot, you know, for me it has all these layers to it that you know, you just start to read for people, and I was just reading at parties, at you know, just anywhere I could, and that's really how I learned it. Just, you know, picking up new layers of meanings with different querents, you know, that's it goes beyond just the website and the book learning. You know, the more that you do it, and of course the pressure of working, you know, in a store where people are paying good money for readings as well.
I've done that one before.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is.
I lovingly call it the psychic salt mines, you know. and the salt is probably, you know, the sweat, you know, that like forms on one's forehead is, you know, they're just any question under the sun is like coming at you, and you're like having to shape the reading in a meaningful way, but to get to your point about the grounded aspects, you know, and I do refer to the magician card, you know, where you know, one hand is pointed up, the other is pointing to earth there, as above so below, you know, bringing that divine principle, like the spiritual principles, bringing it down to earth so that one can manifest them in their own life. And so you know, forming a reading that has clarity to it, and that has you know, practicality, so that one can either move through an obstacle, you know, so that if they're having relationship problems, they can, you know, take it one step at a time, you know, because a lot of people they come in overwhelmed by their issue or by their life, and so it's about kind of just slowing down, taking a deep breath, and you know, I love to see it as an exploration as opposed to me just being a voice of God telling someone how to act in their life, you know, to bring something about it. Because I feel that the person is it's their life, and the more involvement that they take part in their life. It's like the more control or whatever, you know, that they're going to feel. I like to see it as us being co-creators in our life. There's influences that are certainly above us, that whether it's the planets or God, spirit, the universe, these forces.
And sometimes for me, what has happened is somebody comes in and says, how can I fix my relationship? And then the card reading is like, oh my God, you have to heal your sexual abuse. Or how can I lose weight? And the card reading is, your father and you were at opposites, and this has to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the reading is not about answering your question. It's about showing you what your core issue is, which then you have symptoms in manifestation. You have symptoms in your relationships. You have your dad as your boss at work. You know what I mean? Your dad is your neighbor. And sometimes people come in and ask me a question, and when we end up talking about their core issue, which needs to be healed for the question to be healed. You know what I'm saying? So, it's...
The question is all important. That is the key if someone, has a question that's either too broad or kind of too... It's getting the question to where there is a solution to it,
or many solutions to it,
or solutions, and just something that they're going to see for themselves too, because ultimately, it's the person who is asking the question who's going to be able to fix their own life there.
Right. And one of my teachings to all my people who read and the thousands of people who study with me is don't give answers, give solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, what do you mean by that? I go, well, tell them why to figure it out for themselves. Tell them that this is a possibility last. And tell them different ways they can feel it, see it, hear it, know it, figure it out for themselves. And that's kind of... really, really important to do solution-based work. And the solutions, are like level 3 above the cards,
Mm-hmm.
You have
mm-hmm.
to see the cards, you be with the person, and then there's a level right there where you talk about the cards, and then there's another level, and the solutions are that other, They come out of connection with the divine and earth together, maybe, if I was to put it in fancy words, but they come. It's not just the cards that's interacting with you and the client. It's the divine.
Yes.
So it is the
connection with the divine. It's the querent's connection with their own life, that is going to be where solutions are found.
Well, great. We get about one more minute. I teach a tarot class. I haven't in 20 years, and it's a party. And what
it sounds like
is,
it sounds like you make it a party.
The emperor and empress are the hostess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put people, we put cards in different rooms. What would the magician say to the Wheel of Fortune?
Right.
And in this way, I put cards in different rooms. I'm teaching people what the two cards coming up together in the reading mean.
Yes.
And I go, okay, so we have the Three of Cups, and we have Death, and we have the Two of Swords sitting on a couch. And they're talking about the person you're doing a reading for. What are they saying? How does this conversation go from what each of them would say to the ground that they would, the common ground, the common energy you were referring to other people? Oh my God, you're nuts. We could never figure this out. And then they start figuring it out.
I think the Three of Swords would be crying, right? They wouldn't be talking much. They'd be like weeping.
Right. And let's go to the commercial break right now at the half hour, and we'll be right back. with Jason D. McKeon.
Please join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Stargazing with Star Fuentes. For over 50 years, Star has been a pioneer in metaphysics. She has learned a lifetime of priceless information and is eager to share it with you as only she can. Visit her website at starfuentes.com, then tune in as she covers a weekly topic and then opens up the lines for your questions and comments. Again, that's Stargazing with Star Fuentes every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
So this class is just amazing. My test for my tarot class is I have them put down whatever their favorite deck is, and I put have them put the cards face down and do a reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get for the person, and then they get to turn the cards up and see how much in agreement the cards are with them.
Mm.
So it's a pretty interesting class. I don't think I'm going to teach it again this lifetime, but I learned more about myself and more about, you know, to me, writing a class is like graduate school because style, I'm a visionary. I want to see the colors and what do the colors and the symbols mean together. But then I have feelers in my class who have to feel and auditory people. And then I have a housewife and then I have a master and then I have an engineer. So when I write my class, I have to consider what all these people want to know. So when I write a class, it's kind of like doing graduate work for me. And for me, you know, I drew out a big blueprint on poster boards, and we put the cards in the rooms, and we all stood around and talked. And I thought that was, and I did this like 20 or 30 times before I just totally, you know, let go of teaching this class. And I thought it was a very, very educational experience for them. And for me, I learned a lot about me and how I perceive the cards.
Yeah, your own personal relationship with the cards and you know.
Yeah,
like the level of that with others because when you're reading like one person, the cards may say one thing, and then when you read another person, the same cards may have a different level that you're accessing.
Absolutely. And you can read a person, and then tomorrow give them another reading, and that reading will be totally different because they have the information from the first reading.
Right.
They're ready to work in their subconscious, unconscious mind, and their conscious mind. Now, let's see. My three least favorite questions are, when am I going to win the lottery? everybody's going to win, and everybody's winning for $3 sooner or later.
Right.
You know, when am I going to win the lottery? And I'm like, you're going to win this year. You're going to win your $3 ticket, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you say, you know, make affirmations about winning the lottery, be really specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I guess, am I going to be famous? And I'm not sure what number three is my least favorite. My favoriteest question is, what do I need to know? And when somebody comes to me, and I train my students, whenever they go to a reader, whenever they get something done, is to ask them, what do they need to know right now, right here in this space? And the cards will tell them that, the crystal ball, the runes, whatever it is, will tell them that. And that's my most favorite question. What is your favorite question to hear from your clients?
Well, my favorite clients are ones who are already on the path of their own. They've tapped into, you know, why it is they're here on the planet, and they're just like needing confirmation that they're, you know, on that path and that there's no obstacles that are, you know, in their way. I feel that someone who is already aligned within themselves, you know, that it's like they're aware of it and they're working towards it. It's like, you know, that's like most of the journey right there, you know. And being a part of confirming that for them, it's very gratifying. But that's a rare person, that's not the vast majority of people. I think, and especially being in reading in Hollywood and all that, it's like there's a lot of people who are wanting to be in the business, the movie business, by being an actor or something like that. But let's say a card like the Page of Pentacles comes up, and for me that's a card of where you give voice to where it is that you want to go, and what you're trying to manifest. And so I'll ask someone, let's say you're at a party, and someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, what do you do?" What do you say to them? And I'm surprised at how many people they kind of avoid it, that question. They'll like ham and haw. They'll come up with like a, instead of saying, "I am an actor," they'll say, "I do a little bit of this, I do a little bit of that," or I had one woman say, "I just try to avoid them," if they ask me that question. And it's like, okay, this, I feel that when the universe hears you, then it wants to conspire to support you. That it is, the universe is there to support us. And when we give voice to these desires that we have, when we make it known, it's like that's how the universe can start moving things for us. It can get the ball rolling for us. So I like being able to show people again, and it feels like it's in that practical slash like spiritual manner, where it's like something that is within us needs to move out, so it doesn't get bottled up inside of us, because that is where we create all our obstacles, is when we have desires but we don't give it voice, in a meaningful manner.
I agree, and one of my teachings is this is a world of yes. If you have 20 thoughts today, "I am broke, I have too many bills, I'm never going to make it," and you do your 10 affirmations tonight that "I am rich, I am wealthy," at the end of the day, you have 20 things that say, "I am broke." And so the universe will conspire with you to make you broke, and whether you voice it or whether you think it, at the end of the day, this is a universe of yes, and the universe doesn't care whether you say, "I have problems, I'm depressed, I struggle, I am wealthy, I'm an actor." It doesn't really care, but it has to be the majority of your energy that goes into it. So really, this is a universe of yes, and what you're mostly thinking and how you mostly be, that is what you're going to get.
Right.
It's a universe of yes.
And getting someone to realize that it's within their power to switch things up energetically, so that they can keep their energy flowing, keep it moving in a direction that is what they seek, and not fight themselves on it. So that's a wizard's job. it's a practitioner's job, right? As far as helping someone align themselves and so that their desires they match up with their mind, basically, so head and heart are on the same page, and so that they can move their bodies in that direction or the direction that they want to be moving in. It's for me, it's pretty simple.
It is if you know who you are, and manifesting is pretty simple if you know who you are. most people don't know who they are. They don't know whether they like something because advertisements told them to like it, their social crowd likes it, or because they're Irish or Polish and their lineage told them to like it. You know, and the more you discover who you really are, what your free will is, and what your choices are, and please understand that rebel is not a choice. When you rebel against something, the only choice you have is to be against it.
Right, right.
And so I have many rebels. In fact, I married my class rebel 20-some years ago. I have many rebels come to me because they feel very stuck. And they have to be against something. And when you be able to choose A or B, A, B, C, or D, instead of be only A because my parents were B, and I'm not going to live that way, then you start manifesting things in your life. So when we talk about journeying into ourselves, when we talk about examining ourselves or any of those things, a lot of people don't know what they like. They say, I don't like broccoli. And I go, how do you know that? Well, when I was 14, I didn't like it. Your cells change every 7 years, your whole body. You know? And I don't like this. And when was the last time you experienced that? And people, some people haven't even experienced something for 25 years, and they don't like it because their parents didn't like it.
I do know that I don't like liver. I hated it as a kid.
But you've tasted it more than once this lifetime, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I still don't like it. It's. I'm not gonna go there with it. I'm done with it.
But
broccoli.
And,
yeah. Good.
And you've experienced it, and you've tasted it two or three times this lifetime. You know you don't like it.
Yeah.
But there are people who say. Have prejudice that their parents have. They're not using their free will. This is the way it was. This is the way I was taught, and this is the way my life's going to be. You, as a master manifester, as a master wizard, as a master healer, part of our job description is to give people back their free will. To let them know that there are choices that they're not making, and to let them explore something. Go ahead and taste broccoli again. I don't care if you hate it, but go ahead and taste broccoli again, okay, please? You know what
I feel
mean?
That. Yeah, I feel that with the tarot. I mean, it is a way of working with people that can show them, you know, these areas where they may need to. You know, invest that time in either, you know, finding themselves, you know, finding what their passion is, finding what their obstacles are, you know. So the cards, when they come up, the lessons that are attached or symbolic of the cards, that can be a powerful, you know, lesson or just a visual catalyst, you know, for them to tap into and say, oh wow, you know, this is pretty interesting, you know, because you know, you have it broken down into, you know, spirit, mind, emotions, and body, you know, with the wands and swords and cups and
absolutely,
and it's very instructive for them.
How do you turn that lesson into a blessing, you know? How do you turn that lesson? Because every lesson is a blessing, and every blessing is a lesson. You know, how do you turn it back? And the tarot cards. And I tried to mind map like an idiot one day. I tried a mind map, and I started with the Fool. I tried to mind map all the things the Fool could mean. You know, I got past, you know, like to 83, and I says, my God, I want to do this for the whole tarot deck. Let's put this aside and write another class, because in so many different energies and so many different people, depending on the layout that I use, depending on the cards that I use, the Fool is just so everything and nothing, you know?
Yes.
And you go, wow, you know, well, depending what the question is, depending what they meant, not what they said, you know?
and the job is to make it stick as far as like the practitioner, if they you know, lay all 83, you know, definitions or whatever on the querent, then, you know, they're going to be an overwhelm. But you know, finding the right layer, that beginning layer, you know, to start peeling that layer back, and to, you know, something that they can remember, you know, because there are a lot of people who will say, you know, oh, you know, 20 years ago I went to a tarot reader and they said I was going to meet my soulmate, you know, da 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 da. Now they'll remember, you know, very the things that they want to remember. They'll remember that.
Selective memory.
Yeah, but I mean, for a really long time, I mean, they'll remember it, and so it's important, you know. It really is like one of the hardest things that I've ever done in life, you know, because there's so much you know, seriousness to it, so much gravity to it, that you know, every person that you read is significant. You know, no question is too basic or you know, dumb or, you know, anything like that. It does affect people, and so, you know, it's that aspect of being an ethical and practical and spiritual. You know, I don't know if I mentioned, but me and my wife, we do Qigong as well. We it's a martial art practice, but it's one where, if you can visualize like having an energy ball between your hands.
I'm familiar with it, yes, and working with that, it can be very healingful too.
Yes. Yeah, we use it for healing. She's actually more of a healing practitioner than I am with it. But I use it to build connection with my querent, but also to purge as well. You know, to take the energy after the reading and all, and disperse it from my being. So I'm not holding on to you know, the energy of the readings. And, you know, I read for a lot of people, and it's like
and people call me up and say, don't you remember me? You read for me 6 years ago. And I'm like, no. As soon as you were out the door, I dumped that information. Jason, can you give us your website, please?
JasonDMcKean.com. So JasonDMcKean.com.
And do you do Skype readings?
I do. I do phone. I do Skype. There's a contact there on a contact page on my website. I'm also on Facebook. There, I do Twitter too, but it becomes overwhelming to, you know, be on all the social media sites.
Yeah, I mean, I got 40,000 followers, and I'm like, oh, what do I say today? You know.
Something very inspirational, something very important that touches the lives of everyone.
I sit down and I do say some very inspirational things. Sean, my engineer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do I have a phone call?
Yes, I have been speaking to a number of listeners. We do have one individual that has a question. Let's see. Stig, are you with us?
Oh, sure. Hi. Hi, James. Hi, Star.
Hi. Sweetie, what is your question?
Okay, what do I need to know? I know if it has to do with my core issue, I would welcome it. What do I need to know?
Jason, do you want to, do you have your cards with you? Pull out a card for him, or are you available to do that? And then I'll tell him something.
I am ready to go.
Go. Tell Steve something.
And what is your name?
Well, my nickname's Stig. My given name is Steve.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing right, because I was hearing Stig.
Right. Now, let me tell you a little bit. He's an actor and a comedian. He's been my client for 25 years. He usually listens very well to what I say to him. And he studies a lot and lives a lot. So that's your hint, Jason. What would you like to tell Stig?
Well, I pulled three cards for
Stig. Okay.
And, you know, amazingly enough, like two of them are major arcana cards and very, very positive ones, very beautiful ones. The Wheel of Fortune, you know, which is a card of having a sense of the ups and downs of life, the cycles, you know, the you know, wanting to be in touch with the overall plan of your life, you know, where it's not just about the little things there, it's about the big overall things, and it is ruled by Jupiter there. And so the wheel is on a upturn there, heading into some expansive energy, you know, where you can opportunity to express yourself in a major way there. And the Fool, actually in the Wizard's Tarot, it's called the Initiate, and the Initiate is certainly at the beginning of the journey there, but taking on kind of like a giving oneself permission to be a student, you know, to learn something new, to be in a place where, you know, one does not have to feel like they are the master, or that they have to be giving the lesson, that they can be, you know, getting a lesson there, and incorporating new ideas and new energy to move through a time that feels like it's you know, not all the details are fleshed out yet, you know, but the desire is there to move one forward, so one takes that leap of faith to keep moving forward there, and then lastly the Queen of Cups. And, you know, the Queen is highly intuitive and very creative as well. I mean, one of the most creative. The only, you know, potential drawbacks is the Queen, if she feels she's getting or not getting her way, she can withdraw, you know, can kind of go into a space of shutting out the world there and just kind of, you know, living in one's own version of it there. So it looks like overall, like it looks generally positive, especially with the wheel there, but there's some new aspects coming into play, and again that place of being in that student mind, or being open to some new lessons there that feel instructive, you know, that feel like they are part of your journey there, that it isn't a wasted time or a wasted effort there on your part.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you. That's great.
Stig, between Thursday and Monday, not this week's Thursday, but next week's Thursday, you will be offered a stupid part in a movie. It will seem to be beneath you. It will be probably weird. You will have judgments about it. This part will turn into, as people come and go through the casting process, will, and through the making of the movie process, this will turn into the supporting actor role for you. So you need to be even though you'll know more than the producer and more than the casting director or whatever, and you'll know when you look at them that you know more, and it will be a bullshit part for you. You are going to take this part, because as they filter through the people and as the things end up, you're going to go from some two-line character to a supporting role in this film. So pay attention that your ego isn't in your mastery, that you can be look like the students. Be aware of the woman who is either the casting director, the producer, the whatever it is, for she is the one who will decide your fate. And I know how well you get along with women, so pay good attention to it. Did you hear me? Do you have this in
Absolutely.
Your head?
Okay,
Stig, thank you very much.
I love you, Star, and James, you're
Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stig. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sean, one more, or are they not appropriate?
What does that mean? Not appropriate.
I've got a.
Who are your listeners exactly?
I'll tell you how that sounds, Jason. So I got a question that I want to ask Star, but I'm not sure if it's the right question to ask Star. So I was thinking about the question that I had in mind last week, but the question this week is a little bit different. So I'm not sure what the question is right now. So by the time Sean ends up spending 2 minutes listening to them, they still haven't formulated a question. That's an inappropriate caller, okay?
I hear yes. that.
Okay,
hear
Sean,
that.
One more?
We don't have anyone with questions, just people listening to the conversation.
All right. So, Jason, what is the biggest piece of information that our listening audience needs to hear right now in their life to be the best they can be, to do the best they can do? What is the biggest piece of information you have to share with us?
Well, I feel that with this particular listening audience and all that, it's about I feel that you know, people have like a lot of balls in the air, you know, that they're juggling, that they're some feel that they're not getting heard in the world, that just that part of them that's like feeling validated is not a strong validation and all. And I think it's just important to make sure that, you know, your priorities are in line, you know, that the things that you're working for, you know, that you're able to do it in a manner that is you're not working against yourself, that you're you don't have too many things, that you just start to take some of those balls that you're juggling, just start taking some of them out of play there, so that you can focus on the foundation of what it is that you want to get done. And then once that foundation is laid, then start building on top of that. And you know, that is a place of, you know, it feels like it's a conversation that one has with themselves through either meditation or you know, some type of spiritual practice, you know, which we all have. It can be just a walk in the woods, you know, just somewhere where we commune with nature. But taking that time to simplify, to you know, prioritize what is the like the foundation, what everything else can build upon, and to not you know, be too rushed, I guess, you know, as far as, you know, having to feel that you need to get it all done at once. It's like,
well, thank you, Jason, and that's Jason McKean, jasondmckean.com, and you can find him on my schedule for today. Please visit my old website with a new face, masteryourlight.com, and check in for the great webinar I have tomorrow. Thank you, Jason. It's been nice having you.
Thank you, Star. I had a ball. Thank you so much.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlightening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, please visit her website at starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660. Good night.